Welcome back to Up to the Minors. I'm your host, Connor Ramsden, and with me, as always, he's the Ryan single to my Ilya Lyubushkin. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
Well, can I be the one that's still on the Leafs?
Yeah, you can be Ilya Lyubushkin.
Thank you.
The Boosh?
The Boosh? Is that what we're calling him?
That's what I'm calling him. I heard his official nickname is the Russian Bear, which I don't think should apply because your nickname should not be longer than your actual name.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a nickname at that point.
What, does he ride a unicycle? And
I hadn't even considered that part of it.
Because that's what Russian bear means
that
to
is
me,
what
right?
Russian bears do.
Like, yeah.
Or they wrestle 8-year-old Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Sure, whatever spice that is.
Yeah, I guess we should jump right into it. The Leafs made a trade.
Yeah.
Possibly finally. A good one.
I think a good one.
I'd like it too. They acquired Ryan Zingle, who is not on the team.
And pretty quickly.
And Ilya Lyubushkin for Nick Ritchie and the choice between our third round pick in 2023 and our second round pick in 2025.
So I saw a lot of debate about that. Now, if you're Arizona, you're taking the third.
Are you?
If you're that team, you need draft picks like now, not
yeah,
4 years
yeah,
from
yeah,
now.
Yeah. But the other one's a second, and the Leafs are probably going to be good in 2023. What if they're not good in 2025?
But do you think you can look that far ahead?
Oh, well, I don't know. Yeah, that's true. You might be in Quebec City by 2025.
Right? Like it might not matter at that point.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're the GM of the Arizona Coyotes, you're probably definitely not employed by 2025 for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Have you seen their arena that they're going to be playing in? It's a joke.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't talked about that on the podcast, have we?
No.
All right. We should probably do that right now before we forget.
Well, it just looks like a high school. It looks like the arena that like high school kids play in.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty much like, there's a rink in Waterloo where I used to play intramural hockey. At school.
Just quit bragging.
And it looks exactly the same as the rink that the Arizona Coyotes are now going to be playing in.
I remember when I was in college at Humber, the Humber team played at the MasterCard Center,
yes.
Which is now the Ford Center.
Yeah.
They played there and we went to go see a game. And like, I don't know.
That is nicer than this arena.
Yeah, I was like, wow, like it was pretty sick to watch my buddy play hockey at that rink.
It's nicer.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I recently invited you, but you, of course, had COVID to a Mississauga Steelheads game.
I did.
At the Hershey Center.
Was it lost in the mail?
You had COVID.
All right.
And that rink is nicer than the one the Arizona Coyotes are playing in. I actually saw, funnily enough, this ties back into the trade. See how I'm looping this back around. Nick Ritchie is possibly the first player ever to get traded from an AHL team to an NHL team and downgrade an arena.
Yeah. No, for real. I mean, we were going to go see a game, but we still will. That, I mean, where the Marlies play is pretty nice.
It is. And it's definitely nicer than a 5,000-seat Arizona Sun Devils arena.
I was going to say, and I think it's bigger.
It's definitely bigger. It's absolutely bigger. Nicer is, you know, I mean, it's a point of.
Well, that's
opinion,
the thing
I
is
suppose.
Everybody, yeah, because like the pictures, like they're upgrading it.
Yeah, but
so,
it's,
I mean,
it's absolutely bigger.
When we say nicer, we mean bigger. And let's be honest, bigger is nicer.
Yeah, and also I currently mean nicer, but by the time they're finished, it will probably not be nicer.
Right.
Yeah, by the time they're done the upgrade, but it is small. Like it's small,
the size.
Small.
It's not the size. It's how you use it.
In this case, it's the size. In most cases.
Basically all.
Let's talk about the trade instead of making a terrible dick joke. Although that is, you know, a core staple of this podcast. But we got rid of Nick Ritchie. Already an accomplishment, I have to say.
Yeah, and I mean, we did have to give up a third or a second, but
yes.
Like I said, probably a third, which is not nothing,
no.
But there's some return, so I'm not too bummed.
And I would have been fine with, so the trade basically, because Ryan Zingle spent about 10 seconds on the Toronto Maple Leafs before he ended up on the San Jose Sharks.
I was kind of surprised. I thought they would keep him.
Well, I mean, they couldn't, really. Someone had to get waived, and it was either going to be Pierre Engvall or Ryan Zingle. And Pierre Engvall is better than Ryan Zingle currently. We can talk about him as a player.
Okay. Whatever,
but I don't know. It makes sense that San Jose would take a shot at him, I guess. And anyway, he spent 10 seconds on the team. So the trade is really Lyubushkin for getting rid of Nick Ritchie and a second round pick or a third round pick.
Right.
And I would have taken it even without the defenseman. So kind of so works out.
We needed the cap space and we need a defenseman. So kind of helps. Fixes both problems.
Yeah. And if Nick Ritchie's going to be in the minors, which he has been for, you know, a fair bit now, I suppose he was on the taxi squad, but whatever. But if he's going to be in the minors, then his cap hit is enough of a problem that it would have really caused the Leafs some serious issues next season.
Yeah, and like it's a lot to hang on to for two seasons.
It could be the difference between Jack Campbell staying or not.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So had to happen. And I'm glad it wasn't like super expensive to get rid of him. And that the Leafs got a guy back.
Yeah, no, because obviously like it's not a huge, like it's not like a Patrick Marleau contract.
No, it's not. It's pretty small.
You need a first to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, like I said, probably a third, maybe a second, but that's not, you know, to get 2.5 off the books.
It's not a big deal. Yeah.
And but like, especially for, but especially for a team like us who needs the cap space.
Yeah. And I mean, also, Nick Ritchie, who couldn't really crack the Leafs lineup at this point, is going to be probably in the Arizona Coyotes top six. So, like, for them, he's even useful as a hockey player.
They'll get something out of him.
Yeah. So, that's good. They get, like, a warm body that they can play in their 5,000-seat arena.
Well, the problem is they definitely gave, like, the Leafs gave Ritchie every chance that they could.
Yeah.
They put him in the top line.
They played him with Matthews and Marner for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they really tried to shoehorn that in.
Yeah.
You know?
So, what are you going to do?
I mean, you can only put a square peg in a round hole so much before
it
doesn't work.
So the only thing that so the draft pick here, the only thing I would say is 2023 is supposed to be like one of those drafts where it's like incredible. Like 2015, the McDavid one, like 2003, the one with like all Hall of Famers all the way through. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
One of those crazy drafts. That's going to be one of those crazy drafts. So maybe a third-round pick that year is better than a 2025 second, right? Just because the draft is so good. But also, you know, a second is better than a third. So, you know.
Right. Yeah, but, I mean, if you're, like, it's tough to look forward to a draft that is far away.
Yeah.
And, like, you probably can't even evaluate who's going to be in there yet.
No, you can't.
So why not take, like you're saying, a chance on possibly one of the better drafts coming up?
Yeah. Anyone who would be in that draft would be, what, like 14, 15 right now? So, like, yeah.
In the 20...
Yeah, 2025.
20, yeah, they're like
you can't, sperm. You can't
they're semen.
That. I mean, it's crazy that we're watching, like, Connor Bedard already in stuff, right? So, and he's 2023. Same with Michkov.
Wow. Then you better just try to get him.
Yeah. Ryan Dzingel. Let's do this one quick, and then we can get to the guy who's actually going to be on the team. He used to score 20 goals playing for Ottawa.
I liked him on Ottawa.
Yeah. He's
he's still a good shooter. Like, for the past he's been traded a few times. He's gone for, like, second-round picks.
He's really bad at everything now. Which is kind of sad. Yeah.
What do you mean by everything?
Like, when you look at his, when you look at mostly stats on him and mostly the advanced stats and stuff, like, he kind of just, he's okay at defense, but he takes a ton of penalties and he can shoot, but he can't do anything else offensively. So he's like Jimmy Vesey if Jimmy Vesey took penalties. That's not. It's not what you want.
It's not good.
It's not what you want, right?
No.
I mean, and the Leafs were definitely happy to keep him around as like injury depth or whatever, had he cleared waivers.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, he didn't, and that's fine. And maybe San Jose can put him on the power play and maybe rehab him, and maybe he'll end up playing like he did a few years ago, because I don't think he's very old.
Well, apparently he's on the second line.
In San Jose?
In San Jose. Like,
yeah, there you go.
Playing him tonight.
Well, I mean, this was a long time ago on this podcast, but we once played a game called Is This a Real Person or Is This a Real Player for the San Jose Sharks or Am I Making This Name Up? And it was almost impossible. So it makes sense that he's on the second line. Do you remember playing this game?
I do.
And it was almost impossible.
Yeah.
He is currently 29, so he's not super old, but his 20 goal seasons are now 1, 2, 3, 4 years ago. And
that's
yeah.
A while.
Yeah. It's not ideal.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He was traded to Columbus for, I believe that's the trade that you were referring to.
Yeah. Yeah. When Columbus was like loading up with Duchesne and Dzingel, yes. And
yeah, he was a big part of that one.
No.
And Duchesne drove him across the border, and it was all fun and memes and so on. But yeah, it's fallen apart for him since. So I don't know. I hope all the best for him in San Jose, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll never forget the Ryan Dzingel era here in Toronto.
No, it would have been nice to keep him for depth, but it is what it is.
Those were an incredible 10 minutes that he was a part of the team, and he'll never
He will be on Leafs Row.
My Ryan Dzingel 69 jersey is currently in the mail. Should we talk about the Boosh?
Give me the Boosh.
The Boosh.
A moosh Boosh.
So the Boosh is a gigantic right-handed Russian defenseman who has no offensive ability whatsoever, but is pretty good at defending in his own zone and did okay on awful Arizona Coyotes teams.
Well, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, and he did get to play with Jacob Chychrun, who's their only good defenseman, and he still did okay. So,
okay,
that's pretty good.
No, no,
Cause,
yeah.
Because when I saw people saying like, "Oh, his numbers are okay," I was like, "Because he probably played with Jacob Chychrun," and then I looked it up, and he didn't, and I was like, "Oh, well, I'm pleasantly surprised."
So yeah, I mean, he's definitely not like, because obviously there were big names being thrown out there like Klingberg and
on this very podcast.
Well, but I won the cup, so good for me.
I think he's, yeah, I don't think he's the Justin Hall replacement, or we'll talk about Jake Muzzin later, possibly the Jake Muzzin replacement. I think he's basically new Zach Bogosian.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's cool.
I mean, he looks like, from all accounts, he'll be useful.
Yeah. If he can be the TJ Brody to Rasmus Sandin's Morgan Riley, then that's going to be a really, really good third pair.
Yeah.
And he can probably play the penalty kill too, which is probably, you know, useful.
That helps.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you can never have too many bodies going into the playoffs is the other thing. Guys get hurt all the goddamn time.
Especially on the blue line.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like, you know, giant Russian defenseman. That's pretty useful in the playoffs.
I'm sure he'll be helpful.
I feel like Sheldon Keefe would have liked to have this guy last year.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course.
And the year, actually, even more so the year before, when the right side was Barry and CeCe and Justin Hall. Having this guy would have been pretty nice.
No, we could go back pretty far, and this guy would have been useful. So, I mean.
Yeah, the Leafs defense is.
Not been good for a while. And let's be honest.
Possibly ever.
This doesn't make it amazing.
Possibly in my entire lifetime.
I don't know. Fanouf?
Yeah. Number one defenseman, Fanouf.
Number one, baby.
Listen, that Fanouf Mike Kostka pairing was pretty elite.
God. What hell? What hell?
So, I'd say this is a pretty good trade because the Leafs got a guy who's probably going to be useful, and they got rid of Nick Ritchie, all for the cost of probably a third round pick. I mean,
yep.
Not too shabby at all.
Nope.
Would have been even better if they could have hung on to Ryan Dzingel, but to be perfectly honest, not much better. He's not really the important part of this.
No, no, no.
The most important part is getting rid of Richie. The second most important part is the Boosh.
The Boosh.
Who is a free agent after this season. So,
but that's kind of what we want. If we're going to,
they'll take him for a test drive. You know what I mean?
Take him for a test drive. You don't buy the car.
Yeah.
Drive it.
If you like him, you keep him. If you don't like him, away he goes.
Awesome aside.
It's all good. And, basically the read on him is he's a good end zone defender who's not a very good puck mover, which if he plays with Sandin or even Travis Dermott, it really, he doesn't need to be, so that's okay.
Yeah.
He's not going to be, we're not going to be asking him to be the guy who's running the breakouts and stuff like that.
No.
Yeah. Probably not the last Leafs trade of the deadline, I would assume.
Well, it's not the not the last Leafs trade in the last 2 days.
Well, that's true.
Have you forgotten?
I had forgotten, but we can get to the next one. Do you want to tell me who the Leafs picked up?
Listen, this man needs no introduction.
Yes, this man is, of course, Carter Hutton.
If you don't remember Carter Hutton being signed by Buffalo.
Elite goaltender Carter Hutton.
Yeah, I mean, sure, he's lost it a little bit. I saw save percentage over the last season. It's 7-something. It's abysmal.
It's not so good. Carter Hutton has played for it. Let me just do a quick count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 NHL teams. This will be
okay. Can I name
7th, actually? Can you name them?
Can I name a? I'm going to try to name a couple.
There's literally no way, but you're welcome to try.
Okay, St. Louis.
Yep.
Buffalo.
Yep.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Toronto.
Yeah, that's 4 out of 7. You're missing the first 3. And I did not remember he played for any of these teams. There's almost no way that you're going to get. Actually, I remembered one of them.
First 3, eh?
Yeah, but the first 2, there's literally no way. I'm almost convinced that this didn't actually happen.
All right, I tried.
The one that I remember is the Nashville Predators.
Oh, right.
Which is my first memory of Carter Hutton.
That's a good point.
I did not remember that he played 2 seasons for the Chicago Blackhawks. Or that he played one season for the San Jose Sharks.
Was that recent?
2010.
Oh God, I was still in the diapers.
That sounds made up, to be perfectly honest. But I believe Cap Friendly.
Good for them.
Yeah. So basically, what happened here, and I think this is actually a pretty clever trade for both teams involved. The Leafs get Carter Hutton for nothing. And what happens is they've loaned him back to the Phoenix's AHL team. So Arizona now doesn't have to pay their AHL goalie because the Leafs will pay his salary. So for a team who doesn't want to have to pay guys for no reason, the Leafs will now be paying Carter Hutton for the rest of the year. And if the Leafs need Carter Hutton, they'll ship him up to Toronto.
Yeah.
But for the time being, he'll just play in Tucson.
He's just, what's it called? The insurance.
Exactly. He's Michael Hutchinson.
Wow.
We have another Michael Hutchinson.
Oh, God.
I'm not even sure if he's better than Michael Hutchinson.
It doesn't sound like it.
But we have 2 of them now. So that's good, I guess. I guess. Right?
Do you think Carter Hutton's going to play 3 games for Colorado in the playoffs?
I really hope so. That would make me very happy. It would not make Avalanche fans happy, but it would make me very happy. It'd
be pretty funny.
All right. So let's get into the panic. The panic thing. Jake Muzzin stayed at the hospital in Montreal overnight after picking up what I can only assume was another concussion after he has just returned from another concussion after falling into Chris Weidman's knee, which very reminiscent of John Tavares last year in the playoffs, I have to be honest.
Yeah, it was kind of eerily similar.
Yeah, I was really happy to see him get up and skate off by himself.
I just think the one difference was like with Tavares, it seemed like the knee was the thing that did most of the damage. Yes. And with Muzzin, it seemed like his head hitting the ice did most of the damage.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that yeah, the bump off the ice and the way that his neck like twisted.
Dude, it was so gruesome.
It looked really bad. Yeah, that was not pretty.
No.
It's very concerning. So he stayed in the hospital. Kyle Dubas said today it was positive in terms of how he's responded. Now that is classic Kyle Dubas, because I read that and immediately thought, does that mean anything?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I feel like he said nothing.
He's very good at that.
He is very good at that. And in this case, basically, I read that thought, okay, so Jake Muzzin's not dead. That's good.
Yeah, responding to what? Your voice?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, so he can talk to you. That's nice.
What is this?
But I watched him skate off the rink, so I already wasn't like, you know.
We know he's not dead.
Yeah, I figured he'd respond if you asked him something. In terms of playing hockey again. I mean, we don't know when he'll be back. We don't know if he'll be back. He might not be. We might not see Jake Muzzin again this year. We might not see Jake Muzzin again, like, at all.
Well, it's a recurring thing with his head.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, it's his second concussion in, like, a month. And probably not his second concussion, period, I'm going to say.
No, because he got one against Columbus.
Was that a concussion? I thought it was a neck thing.
I thought it was his head.
Yeah, I don't really remember, to be perfectly honest with you.
Maybe it was his neck.
I just remember he landed weird when Pierre-Luc Dubois cross-checked him in the back, which also weird that that wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, what the hell, yo?
But, yeah, I don't know what the plan is here. I don't know if they're going to LTIR him. I don't know if he's going to be back next week. I don't know if he's going to be back next season. He might be sent to Robida Island with Joffrey Leupold and whoever else and never come back.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know, right? I mean, that it looked really bad. And the thing, like, we were really concerned about John Tavares. And I mean, who knows how much time he would have missed. If he didn't have the entire summer to recover. Yeah. Who knows how much time he would have missed, but the other thing with John Tavares is, I mean, that was the first time I've ever seen him get concussed.
Right.
I mean, this is not even the first time in February that I've seen Jake Muzzin get concussed.
No, that's such a good point.
So, yeah, I don't know what to make of that. It's concerning. I hope he gets healthy for his own sake. I hope he gets healthy because our defense is kind of screwed if he's not.
Well, it's happened like a couple times now with him. Like, if he gets hurt, you see it fall apart.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, two playoff series in a row.
Right.
And some regular season games too, where he's missed.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. It's not just the playoffs though.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Leafs have lost four of their last six games.
Bit of a tailspin.
They played pretty bad against Calgary. They played pretty good against Vancouver and they just got Demko'd.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they had like 55 shots or something. Like, they got straight up down. That was like Vegas getting Demko'd. Like, they got Demko'd.
Yeah.
They beat a bad Seattle team who, goddamn, the Kraken are terrible. like they're really bad.
It's bad, man.
They beat a very good Pittsburgh team.
That was fun. It was cool seeing them play Seattle for the first time.
It was very cool. I really enjoyed that, yeah. And all their, like, pregame shenanigans. They definitely learned from Vegas in that, even if they didn't learn how to draft your team properly. The Morgan Rielly goal against Pittsburgh is the best goal any Leaf scored this year, in my opinion.
I mean, end-to-end, baby.
Yeah, and bar down? I mean, come on. That was ridiculous. Absolutely insane. They lost the Blues in a dumb game. That game was just kind of stupid.
Why dumb? Why do you think it's dumb?
I thought the whole thing was kind of like silly and choppy and weird. And it was also like that the first time they played the Blues, the game the Leafs won, where guys were just giving the puck away in the middle of the ice. I'm like, you're just right. Like, what is happening? Like, why do both these teams suck? I felt like that watching this game too. I was like,
sloppy.
I was like, why are both of these teams bad? What's happening? I thought both these teams were good.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching you play each other. And like, it seems like neither of you want to win this game. And the Blues won by like almost default because the Leafs just wanted to win even less than they did, which is the same thing that happened the first time the Leafs played the Blues, except the Leafs won. But right, it's almost exactly the same, like stupid, dumb game.
It's a good point. Yeah.
And then they played Montreal and I knew they were going to lose that game. So like,
you did,
I was 100% sure. I was like, this is Montreal's Stanley Cup final. This is game 7 of the Stanley Cup finals for Montreal. And the Leafs do not give a fuck about this game. They are going to lose for sure. And they of course did not let me down.
No, like they got slaughtered.
Like the fact that they made it 5-2 made it look way less bad than it actually was.
You go down 5-0, it's bad.
Yeah, and like deservedly so. Even though, like, and I know people are going to be like, "Oh, the Leafs outshot them and they had better chances," and like all of that is true. But Montreal is a last place team, so like I don't really want to.
Those aren't excuses against the last place
team. Yeah, like they're actually terrible, and like yeah, Montreal was playing way harder than they were because like they had a reason to care, and the Leafs didn't. But you know, still, I mean, come on, guys, what are we doing here?
No, yeah,
absolutely terrible, and they're playing Columbus, which is currently 2-2.
Ooh, baby.
It was 2-1 off an Austin Matthews goal. And then as I was about to read that it was 2-1, Columbus has tied it up on the power play. Adam Boqvist. Oh, so there you go. So there you go. It's they're currently tied 2-2 with the Blue Jackets.
Well, that's
hopefully cool. They win that game. I will update you as we go.
Please do.
They have not been good.
No. Yeah, like I said, a bit of a tailspin. I mean,
bit of a tailspin.
Is it just them cooling down from being like, what is it, like 10-4 or 10-3 in like their last like couple of like 13, 14 games?
Well, this is definitely something that had to happen for sure. I mean, there's no question
about
that.
You're not going to keep that streak going for as long as people had hoped.
No, they're honestly like, they're just, and this, I don't mean this like, it's going to sound worse than how I mean it, but they're not that good. And I don't mean that as like, they're not that good, like overall, like, I don't think they were a good hockey team. I mean it as like, the way that they were playing was the kind of run that you only go on if you're like one of the best teams in the entire NHL. And yeah. I don't think they are. I don't think they're as good as Tampa or Colorado. But they were playing like they were Tampa or Colorado for a while there. And obviously that wasn't going to last forever.
Yeah. And even like with Campbell, I mean, he was kind of starting to slow down and like they were still winning some games.
That's what a big part of this is for sure, is that the goaltending has been pretty bad.
Yeah.
Campbell has been bad for a while. Mrazek was good briefly.
Briefly.
And now he's kind of lost it again. He had it for a minute there.
It was a bad game. It was a bad game against Montreal.
Oh my God. He was absolutely horrible in that game. And I think the only reason that he didn't get pulled was because the Leafs were playing tonight and it was a back-to-back and didn't want to throw Campbell in when you're already down 3-0. Although had they thrown Campbell in when they were down 3-0, they might have actually won.
Might have woken their asses up.
Because the worst goals that Mrazek let in were the fourth and the fifth. And I don't think Campbell lets them in. And so all of a sudden now there's a chance the Leafs can get back into that hockey game.
Well, if you make it 3-2, you're like, all right, one more, we tie it. Then we
exactly. But, you know, whatever. I don't have a problem. I actually don't have much of an issue with Keith just abandoning that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And starting Campbell tonight and trying to get the 2 points today, which, you know, they might. It's 2-2 in the third period.
You're jinxing it right now with this stupid, stupid face.
Jean-Francois Berube got an assist. Jean-Francois Berube is the goaltender tonight for the Blue Jackets.
Merzlikins and Korpisalo. So I read I read the projected lineups for Columbus and Toronto today.
Yes.
And both Korpisalo and Merzlikens are out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Berube, I think, is like their fifth goalie.
Pretty sure David Ayers is on the bench.
Now, this is a good one for you. Did you enjoy the two-year anniversary of David Ayers that everyone was talking about the other day?
I mean, did I enjoy it? No. You know what's funny is if in those 2 years we had a couple playoff series or yeah. like a cup, obviously a cup would just make everybody feel better. But the fact that we've shit the bed
so hard
since that happened, I think it stings.
Are you a Wordle guy?
Squirtle? I love
Squirtle. Are you a Wordle guy?
What the hell is Wordle?
You don't know. Okay. It's like the new hot thing.
I'm hip. I'm yeah. with it. What's
it's
that?
Like, what it's like it? Every day there's a word and you have to guess what the word is. It's like a game. How do it's you very guess popular. The New York Times just bought it. It's a very big deal.
How do you guess the word?
It's what's though? Hot in the streets. You guess letters and then it tells you. Listen, it's like Hangman.
I hang out on O Block.
You know Hangman?
Hangman? Yeah, I know
Hangman. The game? It's like Hangman. Anyway, there's a hockey version of it. And the other day, the answer was David Ayers. And it made me incredibly angry. So God. There you go.
It's hot in the streets, Wordle.
So it's hot in the streets these days.
All right, I gotta check it out. I like to be in the loop.
I know. Yeah, I'm surprised you weren't.
I'm very busy, man.
Filming your TikToks and your.
I got, you know, I'm doing reels. I'm doing dances. I gotta check out this Wordle.
So it's hot in the streets.
All right.
Speaking of someone who's made himself less attractive, Austin Matthews lost a tooth the other day.
Oh God!
Because dude. He decided to headbutt the crossbar.
He looks like a fucking Kardashian with those lips.
Why? Now, it was kind of an amusing play. I got to be perfectly honest with you. Like the fact that he was watching Sidney Crosby so closely that he just forgot that. The net was there and skated
I've face done first it.
Directly into it.
When I play goalie and I'm in soccer, if I'm tracking the ball and I'm heading towards my right, I'll run into the post. I've done it.
You forget it's there.
You forget the post is there.
How many teeth have you lost?
I've lost no teeth. Maybe a few bursted eardrums and a pinky broken or two, but like I've never lost any teeth.
That was,
but that's the thing is a crossbar is face level.
Yeah, it's about right. that was unpleasant. I got to tell you, that looked like it hurt.
It looked like it hurt, and it still looks like it hurts with his face.
That his answer though, when that guy asked him about it, he was so like, "Oh yeah, I thought I'd just see if I could put my head through the crossbar." I was like, "That is hilarious."
He's like, "Great question."
I love that he's getting a little sarcastic these days.
Yeah, I mean he's got balls.
He's getting comfy. He's not taking any shit.
No, why would you take shit?
All right. Last thing on the Leafs, unless you have anything else, is going to be the Ilya Mikheyev versus Alexander Ovechkin update. Now, you said, when I started doing this as a joke, you said, I have to keep updating it. And I assumed by now that Alexander Ovechkin would be ahead by like 20 goals and the bit would have died.
But the bit's not dead, is it?
Ilya Mikheyev, 8 goals, 11 points. Alex Ovechkin, 7 goals, 12 points. Yeah.
He has 8 goals, eh?
The bit lives.
The bit lives on. Good for you, Ramsden. You might have stumbled onto something here.
The bit lives.
Wow.
I mean, come on.
No, I will 100%. I when you suggested it, I wanted to take your face and just stick it in a
through a crossbar.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna go with something dirtier, but yes. And but the bit lives, and I'm very impressed with you.
There you go. Thank you, buddy.
That's very right. Good. We'll have to keep updating that.
I'll keep on it. I have to assume eventually the bit's gonna die. Because the last goal Ilya Mikheyev scored, someone shot off his pants into the net. So I'm getting less confident in the bit, but it's hanging on. It's hanging in there.
I saw a chart of Ovechkin's like power play goals.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all from the left, like that left side.
The
and
Ovechkin
like,
spot.
Guy, yeah. This guy's a menace. And now we're doing a bit where McKayev has more goals than him. And I'm like, come on.
Ilya Mikheyev, who scored like two goals last year. Like it's an unbelievable bit. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Olympics and trade deadline.
Fantastic.
Welcome back. And I wanted to talk about the Olympics. Now, did you watch any men's or women's Olympic hockey whatsoever?
I watched some men's hockey.
Okay.
And a little bit of women's highlights.
Okay. Did you watch Canada or did you watch just like the gold game?
Oh, for women's or
any of it? Like, I don't know. I'm just wondering what.
For the women's, I watched some of like the Sweden game early on. It was more early on. And then for the men's, I watched some of the Canada. Where did they play second? It wasn't
the first state. It was the U.S. Wasn't it?
It was the U.S. No.
Did you watch them play China?
I watched them play China, and I watched them play
Germany. Did they play Germany? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was
they lost so fast.
Here's the thing: is with those with the hockey is it starts late.
Yeah.
In the Olympics.
Or early. Yeah. Oh, you mean, okay. Yeah. 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 Yes. Like, the men started super late in the Olympics.
Yeah. And then before you knew it, it was over.
The gold medal game started after, I think it was like the day after the closing ceremonies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the latest. It was like the last thing they did.
But like,
if it was Canada versus Russia, like with all the stars, that would have been, you know, the biggest thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't.
No.
But yeah, it was just it was over pretty quick. So yeah, no, I don't know. You're gonna have to take the lead on this one. What do you got for me?
Well, I watch mostly the women's because I watched a couple of the men's games and it was really bad.
That's what I noticed too. It's not good hockey.
It was like actually pretty terrible. It was kind of hard to watch when like it was hard to justify it to myself watching it when the NHL was still happening.
Well, it's clear why none of these guys are in the NHL.
It is very obvious, yeah. Even the guys whose names you recognized on like Team Canada and stuff, like they are like washed. And you're a lot of them weren't that good when they weren't washed.
I was going to say, like Daniel Winnick is not a draw.
That's the name I was going to pull too, because I was watching him and I was like, I remember Daniel Winnick. He wasn't very good, but he was okay.
He was elite.
But he was okay. And then I watched him play now and I was like, oh, he's no longer okay. He just sucks now. David Desharnais was horrible.
Like I watched the women's highlights for the gold medal game and like that was way better.
It was
hockey.
Way better. It was so much. So that's why I watched the women. I watched a lot more of the women's than the men's. Also because Canada was good. So I was like, okay.
Well, Canada, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch Team Canada because they're good. Yeah. I watched the men's team lose to the US and I was like, I think I'm done for the tournament.
Well, it sucks because you're like Eric Staal, you know. Yeah. First line center. I mean,
yeah, you get a little excited. Owen Power.
Yeah, yeah. My girlfriend loves him. He's a handsome young man. But like, but, it's just yeah, it's not. There's no draw. Like, what? No. You're gonna watch the whole tourney just based on those two guys, and like, even the goalies. I was like, there's nothing good here.
What they're not interesting, and they're bad. And it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, Canada won. Obviously, which that was exciting. And which I'm mad that we didn't get to do a podcast because I knew that Canada was going to win. I was very excited about that because I watched both the teams play and people were like, is Canada going to win or is the US going to win? And I was like, nope, Canada's better. Canada's much better. And when the two teams played and Canada won in the group stage, they goalied the U.S. basically. The U.S. was kind of the better team, and Canada's goalie was way better, and the U.S. goalie wasn't very good, and Canada won that way. And a lot of people saw that, and they were like, wow, you know, the U.S. is better. Canada got lucky. Their goalie had to kind of bail them out. And what my theory was, it was watching it, is I was like, Canada played like absolute shit and they still won.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do that in the gold medal game. They're not going to play terribly.
Can you bet on Olympics?
You can.
In fact. Really?
Yeah.
It's fun.
So there you go. So if, you know, if for some reason you were to bet Canada to win gold and the U.S. to win silver, like a smart person, you may or may not have won a little chunk of change on that.
Right.
Not saying who might do such a thing, but...
I mean, sounds like a degenerate, but...
Yeah, definitely a degenerate.
Not here to judge.
About that. This team was just, I mean, they were super deep. A lot of people have been saying, like, this might be the best women's hockey team of all time. I don't know if that's true or not. Not educated enough on the topic, but they were absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they had just unbelievable players. I want to read you a couple of Marie-Philippe Poulin stats, because she is probably one of my favorite hockey players that I've ever seen.
It's crazy, because I heard she got an offer for, like...
An ECHL deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. She is... She is Sidney Crosby. Like, when I watch her, like, and it's kind of funny because they'll always be connected because they both scored the golden goals in the same year. Right. Oh, and so, like, it'll always kind of be that thing. But, like, she plays exactly like Sidney Crosby. Like they have the same game. So, like, when I watch her, I'm just like, oh, this is pretty cool. Cause, like, she's just doing Sidney Crosby stuff. Like, this is what he does. So that was pretty sweet. She has scored in 4 Olympic gold medal games.
That's insane.
She has 3 Olympic gold medal winning goals. And she has 6 goals in gold medal games at the Olympics. That is, I mean, I'm not sure that'll ever be broken.
That's no.
That's like one of those permanent records. Like, that's like one of those Gretzky ones where you hear it. Right. Like, oh, that's just not going to, like, people just aren't going to touch that.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of those.
It's like when you take away Gretzky's goals, his assists are still the most points. In
yes.
The
yeah, like, exactly.
Like, well, that's just, I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Yeah. Or like how Gretzky's the only guy with a 200 point season and he has like 4 of them.
Yeah, like the yeah. Well, good for her. That's
yeah. Four goals in 4 consecutive Olympic gold medal games is absolutely ridiculous. And I gotta look up how old she is, but I think she's in her early 30s. She's 30. Which means she could potentially score in the gold medal game at the next Olympics.
Yeah, I was gonna say she'll probably play in the next one.
Yeah. I mean, 34, she'll be like, that's not that old.
I mean, yeah.
Crosby was going to make it this year, and he's 34.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. It also make me feel kind of bad for Sid, though, because Sid has 2 Olympic gold medal winning goals as well.
Oh.
Right? So she has 3, and she scored in 4 gold medal games. He has 2, and he scored in 2. But he's only been allowed to play in 2.
Say,
and it's like, oh, wouldn't it have been fun if like they both... kept going every year. Yeah. But
it's okay. No. Yeah, look, I mean, tell me if this is how you felt, but because the NHL wasn't there, it did, like, every time I did watch a men's game, I was like it would have been so much better.
I know, it was just disappointing. That was what it was. I couldn't get over that. On top of the fact that hockey wasn't very good. But like I just couldn't get past that.
But that made it so much more, like, so much worse.
When I watched the U.S. and Canada play in Canada lost, what, like 4-2 or whatever?
Something like that.
Oh, and I was watching that game the entire time. I kept thinking, this should be McDavid versus Matthews. Why am I not watching McDavid versus Matthews? I don't care about this game. I don't care who wins.
No.
Like, when the U.S. was winning, I felt like nothing.
No.
As opposed to, like, yeah.
There's no competitive spirit there.
No, as opposed to like the existential dread I would have been feeling if Canada was losing with the NHL players.
Yeah.
Where I would have been like, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen right now.
The stakes are way higher.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just sad. Also, there was an article that came out during the Olympics by a terrible, terrible writer for the Toronto Star, who's been terrible forever. And she said, like, you know, basically, why is women's hockey in the Olympics? Like, there's only two good teams. And to that I say, I watched the men's tournament, and there were zero good teams.
That's so funny. That's such a good point.
None of the teams were good. They would all lose to the Arizona Coyotes. Okay, I don't care.
That's actually true.
Yeah, the Finnish team that won that gold medal would lose the Arizona Coyotes, because even that gold medal winning Finland team, and I mean, I am happy Finland won, because, you know, it was really the only way they were ever going to get a gold medal, and good for them. I like Finland.
Plus, I'm sick of Russia.
Yes. Well, that especially. I'm very glad Russia did not win an Olympic gold medal. Although it wouldn't have counted, because they're not Russia. They're the Russian Olympic Committee or whatever.
How funny is that?
It's honestly, it's insane. I don't understand it. It's so weird.
It's weird that they're like, yeah, like.
It's like a punishment that's not a punishment.
Yeah, because even I watch like the broadcast, like I was watching like the Olympic skiing, and like they kept calling ROC Russia. Yeah. Like, oh, the Russian team. And I'm like, well, what are we, like, what's the point here?
Yeah, seriously.
Just call them Russia. Just throw, they all wear on the flags. Nobody, like.
No punishment. It was stupid. And then the last thing before we move to trade deadline and back to NHL stuff is Marie-Philippe Poulin tied Haley Wickenheiser's record for most points in a tournament, and Sarah Nurse broke the record. She now holds the record, most points in Olympic tournament, with 18. Incredibly impressive. I do think that I've seen the people post this like all the time, like that she broke the record for most points.
Yeah.
She played 7 games. Haley Wickenheiser played 5 when she set the record. So, like, I mean, we got to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
18 points in 7 games, or 17 points in 7 games, like Poulin got, is not the same as 17 points in 5 games.
No, no, it's not.
So, as far as I'm concerned, the Wick is still. I was going to say the man, but the woman. Nah.
It's a man, baby.
All right, let's do. Before we get to the trade deadline, Sidney Crosby, 500 goals.
Did you notice how the whole team got off the bench?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of crazy too. Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that was insane.
I thought that was weird.
Yeah, it was super weird.
I had to double check. I was like, was this an OT? And then I saw it. I was like, no, it was the second period. I was like, how is everybody on the ice?
Plus, like, weren't they losing like 4-2 or something?
Yeah, and like the backup goalie got on the ice. I'm like, so weird. What is
so over the top? Like, it's not like he like broke Gretzky's points record or something. It was just 500 goals, and like, it's Sidney Crosby. He was gonna get 500 goals.
Yeah, no, it very odd.
That was super weird.
Not trying to take away from the accomplishment, just no. Very odd that the whole team decided to get on the ice and go. Attaboy.
Oh, I'm 100% with you. That was completely insane. I was really happy that he got it out of the way, though, because I was so sure he was going to do it against the Leafs, who they played the next night.
No. But then I think that would have had more attention on it, the fact that the whole team left the bench.
People would have been like, where are they going? What are they doing? Yeah,
every Leafs fan would have been like, wait, what the fuck are we watching?
On Hockey Night in Canada, yeah.
Like, wait, what? You're doing what?
That was ridiculous. I really don't... if you break like a record or something, like, yeah, send the team over the boards, I guess. But no, it was crazy. He couldn't. And then I thought the other funniest part of that entire night was when later on in that game, as I watched the highlights of it, because I saw Sid scored 500 goals. And in overtime, Chris Letang and Sid came down on a 2-on-1, and Chris Letang shot, which like was the right move because he scored and he won the game. But like. The other guy there just scored his 500th goal. Like, you think maybe you could, maybe don't look him off on the 2-on-1. Just throwing that out there.
Well, Letang's a free agent. He's got to pad those stats.
That's true. And he did score. So, I mean, fair enough, right? But I did think it was insane that the guy who had just scored 500 goals got looked off on the 2-on-1 in overtime.
That's so funny.
All right. Before we get to the trade deadline board and all the names on it, we have an actual trade Tyler Toffoli to the Calgary Flames for Tyler Pitlick, Heinemann, a first and a fifth. Now, I'm going to look this up, but I'm pretty sure Heinemann is the guy who came over in the Sam Bennett trade.
I'm going to bust your Heinemann.
That's where I think he came from. I don't know anything about him other than that. He went second round to Florida. So there you go.
Okay.
So they got a Florida second rounder and a first. And then Tyler Pitlick, who's nothing, and then a fifth round pick for Tyler Foley.
I'm sorry, but Tyler Pitlick was playing.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's going to be playing, but it's not good. I
understand.
What do you think about the trade?
It's a lot. I would say it's a lot for Toffoli, but I mean, the thing about Toffoli, in because, you know, NHL 22, I play it.
Okay.
It's a hell of a cap hit. Like it's
good, not bad.
No. I mean, like, it's good.
You like, yeah. Okay. All right. Like, I was like,
by hell of a cap hit, I mean, like, good for him.
Yeah. And they have him locked in for a few more years.
Yeah. So like, it's not an expensive deal.
No.
It's like $4 million.
Yes. It's, yeah. Hang on. Let me find it here.
Like 3.9.
It's 4.25. And, they have 2 years after this one.
Okay, so it's a three years, whatever.
Yeah, and those will be his age 30 and 31 seasons. So he's going to be exactly the same as he is now. It's not like he's getting old.
No, and I mean, he scored his first game there. Like,
yeah, and he's already won two. Oh no, he did win two Stanley Cups already with Daryl Sutter. Oh, on the Los Angeles Kings.
Oh, he was on those teams.
Yeah, he played on Jeff Carter's line.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's why they got him, because Daryl Sutter was like, "That's my guy."
That guy's on drugs, right?
Yeah, we can talk about Daryl Sutter.
I think he is on drugs. All that.
I'm convinced he was high in that interview.
Yeah, like, what was that?
That is an answer you can only give when you're high.
Yeah. Or me, but like,
yeah. For you.
That's really what it comes down to. So I mean, it's a good deal.
I like it for both teams.
Yes, because it looks like Montreal doesn't need Toffoli. doing just fine without.
I don't think I'd go that far just yet.
No, but you know what I mean.
I am happy that Montreal is managing to win enough games to take them out of the race for Shane Wright. That part's fun.
I don't want him to go to Arizona, though.
Well, too bad.
I would want Shane Wright to go to, like, Seattle.
That'd be nice.
Be fun. Good for, like, it'd be good for the fan base.
I was going to say get them their top three pick or whatever, but they already have one. They have Matty Beniers, who will be there next year, and who played in the Olympics.
Who played in the Olympics.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good trade, right? I mean, they get the first-round pick. And a prospect who may or may not be something.
And Calgary's going for it. And he's locked in. So
yeah, they just get him, and it's like you said, it's a good cap hit for like a guy who's gonna be on your second line and your power play and all that.
Yeah.
And who, you know, he scored 30 goals in his career. Like Tyler Toffoli's a good player.
Hey, so. In NHL 22 he has an X factor. So
yeah, exactly. He's a solid player. And he played junior with Sean Monahan.
Okay, so there's tons of reasons to do this.
So lots of connections.
Lots of connections.
So there you go. All right. Now, the guys who were on the Athletic trade board, we'll go through them. We'll talk about the guys and what we think and probably whether or not the Leafs are – probably a lot about the Leafs, even, you know, even though the Leafs are probably not going to trade for most of these guys, if any of them. One thing I did notice is that the defense has more big names than the forwards, for sure.
Which is not like most years.
It is not like most years. Most years, that's why defensemen are so expensive at the deadline, right? It's because there's usually like one or two guys available. I mean, David Savard was the guy last year. Yeah. And Tampa paid a first rounder for him, which, I mean, whatever, they won the cup. But it does seem crazy to trade a first rounder for David Savard. He's not that good. difference.
No. Yeah.
But this year's David Savard is Jacob Chychrun, which should show you exactly how much better this year is than most other trade deadline years.
And it's kind of shocking that Arizona wants to get rid of him.
That is a little bit weird because
I've heard his name.
And he's young, he's good, and they have him on a long-term cheap deal. But they have him for four more years at $4.6 million. And Jacob Chychrun is 23.
Yeah.
23. I mean, I would just keep him. But
I mean, the only logic for them, the only thing I could see is them being able to get a bunch of draft picks for him. And like a bunch.
I suppose that's what it is, right? It's we can get a lot of stuff for him. And we aren't going to be good for any of the 4 years that he's under contract. So why not trade him? What I would say is maybe after those 4 years, you re-sign him because he's probably still going to be really good. Like, why not just keep him? Yeah.
Might be better.
But I guess if you're Arizona, you're probably assuming that the second one of these guys hits UFA, he's just going to piece for somewhere that's not Arizona.
Yeah, but then you hope he gets better and builds up his trade value.
Yeah, more that too. Him. Yeah.
Don't have to trade him 4 years from his contract expiring. Trade him 2 years, 1 year.
Yeah. Who knows? But it seems like they're going to do it because basically everybody's talking about how he's the number one name on the trade board and have been for a long time. Jacob Chychrun is a ridiculously good left-handed puck-moving defenseman from the incredible 2015 draft, right? He's from the 2016 draft. We just talked about him when we did our 2016 redraft. That's why he's
right.
Fresh in the old mind there when we redrafted the Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine.
In the back of that thick skull of yours.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Leafs have tied the game. It's now 3-3. Jason Spezza with the goal.
Spets.
So whoever picks this guy up, I mean, you're basically adding a top four defenseman for your playoff run. And like a good top four defenseman.
What's his cap hit?
4.6. So he's pretty affordable.
It's actually really good.
Yeah, they're not going to retain any money because it's
no, Arizona. That'd be dumb.
It's Arizona. Right. But I mean, you have to assume that teams can make that work. You trade them a guy back or whatever and figure it out. I mean, he's the kind of guy who could turn a team who is really good, but maybe has a shaky defense into a team that could possibly win the Stanley Cup. I'm trying to think of who that might be off the top of my head. I can't really think of anybody, but I mean, like,
is that a joke? Are you joking?
What? You're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs? Yeah. I mean, it would be nice, but I don't think that they have the stuff.
It would have to be like a first and
yeah,
a couple other things.
And you'd have to send a bunch of salary.
No, nope, you're right.
It would just like, I mean.
But it seems like they're willing to take it on.
Yeah. I mean, I saw some people saying like, hey, you know, Muzzin and a first round pick and like Nick Robertson. And I'm like, I mean, I don't think they'd do that. I think Arizona would be like, no, we're good.
So. No, I wouldn't say Muzzin, but I'd be like, you know, Dermott, Hall,
yeah,
first, and maybe Kerfoot.
Yeah. Something, a prospect or something.
Or
yeah.
A prospect.
Yeah. They want young pieces. Right. But I don't know. I just feel like there's teams that can offer more than the Leafs can for them.
Right.
Another couple names that are hanging around are Jeff Petrie and Ben Sherratt of the currently accidentally tanking Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
Who are now ruining their accidental tank by winning hockey games. But Jeff Petrie, very good player. Ben Sherratt, very not good player, and I'm getting increasingly worried that people keep linking him to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, well, please, old. God, don't do that. Huh?
He's very old.
Jeff Petrie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, but he'd be a rental, and he's, you know, good. Ben Sherratt is not good. Although the problem with Jeff Petrie, too, is he hasn't been good this season. And I think he, like, really fucked up his thumb or something last year in the playoffs. And, like, I just think that that's permanent and he's not going to be good again.
He's got a weird mustache.
Yeah, and those weird eyes, remember?
Oh yeah, that's right. The Red Eyes. You know what? You know what's? And this is a total aside, but a coworker of mine has red eyes, and it's because he's got diabetes. Oh. No, sorry, not diabetes. It's the other one.
He's dialysis. He has like kidney problems.
No, no.
I think those are yellow.
Shut up! No, shut up! Shut up! Shut up! It's blood pressure.
Blood pressure. I was like, should I cut this? How long is this going to take?
No, high blood pressure.
No. Well, I mean, he popped all the blood vessels, right? That's what he said.
Taking a shit.
No, when his hand, when they set his hand.
I think it was him taking a shit.
Well, that's how most of us do it. But we'll see. Ben Sherratt, please God, Kyle, don't do it.
Don't. Please, listen to us.
Don't do it. John Klingberg, another defenseman. Big fancy defenseman available. Now, you would like the Leafs to trade for John Klingberg. By the way, Leaf game going into overtime. You would like the Leafs to trade for John Klingberg because you won the Stanley Cup with John Klingberg.
Listen, I it seemed to work for me.
He's a very talented, puck-moving, right-handed defenseman who...
Actor.
Now, the problem with him is that he is a free agent after the season. You would have to re-sign him to a big, giant contract, which probably not good.
Like I said, he's probably – in the game, he only asked for like $10 million. So it's,
you know. Is that all?
That's it. It's not a big deal.
Just Cale Makar money?
Just get rid of Campbell, trade Mrazek. Wool is your starter.
Run with Carter Hutton.
Oh, I forgot about Hutt. Love me a Hutt.
Carter Hutton, Michael Hutchinson, the tandem of doom.
This is it. We're going to the playoffs.
How can you lose?
You don't need a goalie. You got Klingberg.
You have a offensive defenseman to stop goals.
Damn it.
Another name that's floating around. I actually wrote Seattle's entire hockey team. But Mark Giordano is one of the big names that's going around. And Patrick Laine just scored an overtime.
No! All right, well, that's it for this podcast. We're going.
But Mark Giordano, a name that's floating around, former Calgary Flames captain, current Seattle Kraken captain, I think.
Yeah, he is.
Now, I see Mark Giordano's name on here, and I think maybe the Flames are going to get him back.
Maybe.
Right?
The problem with that is if you're Seattle and I get maybe you didn't think you were going to suck, are you really going to trade your captain the first year of your franchise?
Yeah, but like, I mean, they really suck.
I'm not – no, you're right.
Like, I put Seattle's whole team down here basically, and I kind of meant it because almost everybody on this team – almost, not quite, but almost – is their contract's up after this season. Guys who are UFAs after this year, we have Carson Kuhlman, we have Jeremy Lauzon, Mark Giordano, and then we have every single forward except for Eberle, Gord, Wennberg, and Donskoy. Every other forward is a free agent after this year.
Trevor Schwartz.
Now, some of them are restricted, right, but he's injured, so that's why I didn't. And Brandon Tanev, but they're both injured, right? But all of these guys who they picked in the expansion draft are free agents. Some of them are RFAs. So like Jared McCann, they probably won't lose Jared McCann. That's pretty good. Mason Appleton, they'll probably bring him back, right? But the guys like Callie Yarncrock and Marcus Johansson and Riley Sheahan and all those guys are probably just gone after this year. So like, I know you probably don't want to gut your team after you just drafted them, especially because Vegas, like, you know, kind of did this so much better than you, and now you look like idiots already. And then when you trade all your players that you drafted, it's basically admitting that you screwed up. But you did screw up. So, like, you kind of have to do this.
So my latest endeavor in NHL 22 is rebuilding the Seattle Kraken.
Difficult.
And, yeah, they suck. So, you know, I assume if... You know, first couple of months, realized I wasn't going to do much. Just traded everybody.
Yeah.
I'm talking every... And
the whole thing. Yeah. Start fresh.
Picks and picks and picks and for the 2022 draft, I've got like 20 picks.
Yeah.
And I'm just, and I've got like prospects from other teams.
You already have like Matty Beniers and yeah.
Well, he's not in the game.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
They don't have college players or
you just KHL. Don't get your number two overall pick.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer.
That's tough, but yeah, I think that's what I think they kind of should sell all these guys off at the deadline. And my God, did they ever do a terrible job picking this team? Like we said it at the time, but like that, it's just terrible.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do some forwards here.
Okay.
Claude Giroux.
I heard.
Basically a top six center and or left wing for whoever can afford him and his salary.
Yeah.
Claude Giroux.
I mean, it's a look, it's what's his salary? Like seven something?
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now. He is just this year at 8.2. So you'd probably need Philly to retain.
That's a lot.
But Philly probably would retain because they're not gonna make the playoffs. And you know, if it means that they can get some first round picks, probably do it.
It's a good point. And it's only 1 year.
Yeah. It's not like you have to worry about it next year. So you could have a half price Claude Giroux suddenly popping up on your hockey team. That's another guy who could be a big difference maker because Claude Giroux used to be awesome in the playoffs. And I mean, he hasn't got to participate recently, but maybe he still is.
That logic doesn't work when he doesn't make it.
Yeah. But you know, maybe he still is awesome in the playoffs if he gets the chance to attend. Another big forward name is a guy who you are a big personal fan of, JT Miller.
Oh, I love JT.
Yeah, his contract is expiring.
If you switch J and T.
Oh. We'll let the people at home figure that one out.
My real name.
Because he has 2 years left on his $5.25 million deal.
Right.
And it seems like...
If you're Vancouver, like, you don't think... They would want to keep him.
Well, they have to re-sign Brock Besser, and they have to, you know, they're pretty tight against the salary cap as it is.
Well, that's the Ekman-Larsson deal.
And by tight against the cap, I mean, like, over it.
Right. And he's going to get, Brock Besser's going to get a ton.
Besser's going to get paid. So, I mean, someone's got to go, and it's got to be someone who's making money. And they just traded for Connor Garland, so it's not him. And no one's going to want Tanner Pearson, so it's not him.
It's funny because I have heard rumors of Connor Garland moving.
Have you? Yeah. Interesting. I have not. I've heard mostly JT Miller.
It's mostly being talked about on 4chan, but, you know.
Son of a bitch. Keep your trucker convoy buddies out of here, all right?
Have you heard of the dark web? A lot of trade talk going on there.
Can I give you the other fun left wing?
I mean, I'm more right wing, but yes. All right, sorry.
Philadelphia Kessel.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why would Kessel go to Philadelphia?
No, Phil Kessel. Phil, I assume that Phil is short for Philadelphia.
Oh, God, just scared me. It makes sense.
It's a Trailer Park Boys joke, which, by the way, I just want to point out, Kyle Dubas used a Trailer Park Boys quote like 2 days ago.
Listen,
like seriously, like an actual, honest to God, Trailer Park Boys quote. The general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs in a press conference dropped a line from the Trailer Park Boys about Nick Ritchie.
Listen, it's not a good show. I don't know what everybody's hyped up
It's
about.
An incredible show. It's hilarious.
And, what did he say?
He was like, you know, that's the way she goes. Sometimes she goes and sometimes she doesn't go. And I was like, that's from the Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, God, the GM's a hillbilly.
Honestly, my favorite Kyle Dubas moment, possibly of all time. But God, Phil Kessel is in the final year of his contract. So if Arizona wants to retain some salary.
The GM of the Leafs watches unintelligent TV.
Oh, he could be a guy.
All right.
Phil Kessel, bring him home. That's all I'm saying.
I don't see it happening, but sure.
They definitely won't do it. But, you know, but perhaps. I mean, listen, we are already paying his salary retention, so.
Well, listen, the fact that Dubas watches that show probably means he'll do something crazy.
Let's hope so.
Watch Seinfeld. It's better.
Jake DeBrusque.
What about him?
He's on the market. He apparently requested a trade, and it could happen. Or maybe not. Who knows?
I'm surprised people leave Boston.
We got to start running through these a little bit quicker because I want to talk about Futurama. Jake DeBrusque. You know, we know Jake DeBrusque as Leaf fans. He's a bit of a dick. Yeah. And he's on a kind of expensive contract. But if you're a team like, let's say, Seattle, maybe why not take a chance on him, see if he can play pretty well for you. He's a good player. Thomas Hurdle. Now, apparently San Jose is trying to re-sign him to a big long-term contract, which he has apparently said that he would like, but they haven't made an offer yet. And the other option is you trade him. And Thomas Hurdle is awesome. So, there you go.
Yeah. Well, San Jose, I mean, they're definitely a shell of what they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to think if you're San Jose, do you really want to lock anybody into another long-term contract? And already have Burns and Carlson.
I was going to say, it's not worth it. Vlasic is still, like...
Logan Couture. it's real bad down there. Things are not good.
No.
San Jose is going to be bad for a while.
I like that kid. I think he's injured now.
Eklund?
Eklund?
He's sick.
Oakland?
Yeah. He is really good.
Oakley's?
All right, and the last one I had to – there's a couple other names on here that are interesting, but the last one that I really wanted to bring up just because I thought it was so insane is Marc-Andre Fleury.
Well, didn't – so everybody's talking about – but didn't the like GM of Chicago come out and say no?
Yeah, and also – and I also saw that – so Robin Leonard's having shoulder surgery, and they think he'll be back by the playoffs. And apparently he asked Vegas to trade for Marc-Andre Fleury, which I was like, what? What are we doing? Didn't we do this? Listen. There were swords involved.
I understand that there's a whole, like, Leonard has got a whole thing going on. That is a crazy thing to ask.
It's hilarious. It's like, I couldn't believe it. So I had to bring it up on the podcast.
If that's true, that is someone with... just, you know.
No issues foresight. With reality.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say something else, but I'm glad you stepped in.
Yeah, I'm also glad I stepped in. I also wanted to point out that Vegas is currently only using $15 million of LTIR.
Well, Eichel's back, baby.
Eichel's back. And did you notice that coincidentally, the second he came back, Mark Stone decided he was injured until the playoffs?
Listen. Put your tinfoil hat away.
Look, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying anything, but seems a slight bit coincidental. No?
Just a bit askew.
All right. So let's do Futurama. Because, I mean, for you and I, this is, I think everybody has those shows that, like, when you were a kid, it, like, based what you find funny. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's kind of sets your sense of humor. It's, like, the first really funny show that you found really funny, and for the rest of your life, you find things funny partially based on how this set your sense of humor. For me, it was The Simpsons and Futurama, and I know it was Futurama as well for you.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't Trailer Park Boys, but yeah.
You and I personally watched the show a lot, talked about the show.
We used to quote it to each other walking to elementary school.
That's right, constantly, every day.
Yeah, we would be like, but we, yeah. Because so when they put it on Netflix, they didn't put like the first few seasons.
Yeah, not the good ones. I know.
Which was kind of the problem with me. But now you're telling me.
It's coming back.
It's coming back.
They've revived the show for at least one more season. We'll see how many. And they have everybody on board except Bender.
Which is kind of a Bender bummer.
Pay the man.
Well, yeah, no shit.
You can't do the show without Bender.
No. Plus, I read the article you sent me. He voices like 20 other characters.
Yeah, like they need that guy.
Like, what are you going to do?
Doesn't he do like Scruffy the janitor? And like,
yes.
Yeah, like he's got to be back. No, also, no. I mean, like, there's three characters who you can't recast, right? You can't recast Fry, you can't recast Leela, and you can't recast Bender.
No, there's no.
You can get someone else to do like Professor Farnsworth or something, and like, I won't like it, but like, I'll live with it. But those three have to be the same.
Good news.
I like is that your audition tape?
I like when it comes in and goes, news.
It's not good anymore. He's the best. I think you'll agree with me on this, but my personal favorite Futurama character is and always will be Zap Brannigan.
Okay.
Zap Brannigan is like possibly the funniest character in the history of television.
One of the first things I did when COVID hit was like when I was locked down with my two buddies, like
yep.
John and Cam, I showed them the highlights clip of Zap Brannigan on YouTube. And I just, obviously they were like, what the hell's wrong with this lunatic? But I'm sitting there pissing my pants.
We get Dingus.
I've seen it seven times.
It's so good. How could you not?
But he's the best character.
So, I mean, excited, terrified. What do you think here?
So, I mean, I guess I gotta watch because here's the thing: is Futurama wasn't one of the it was, but it, like there was a story arc a little bit.
There was a story arc, yeah. And right. They kind of tied it up with that one where Fry learns how to play the holophone.
Yes.
They kind of tied it all, finished
yes.
it up.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it came back, which I know you haven't watched that.
Right. So I think I might have to watch.
And get prepared.
Get prepared. And
you got to do your homework.
That's exactly what I was going to say, but I hate homework, so I didn't want to use that word. And just prep for the show, but I guess there's no release date if they're just...
I haven't seen one yet. And I haven't even seen that it's going to be released. Oh, no, it is going to be released in Canada on Disney Plus.
Which
I don't have. But, I don't have either. Yeah, but, you know, you can always illegally download it or whatever.
We're going to bleep that part out.
Please subscribe to the Up the Miners podcast legally.
We pay for things.
I don't know. I'm excited.
It's a big part of our childhood. I'm excited. I
thought it was something we had to talk about in the podcast just because it's, it was that big when you and I were growing up.
We would like do the Professor Zoidberg voice to each other. I mean, obviously Bender was like our biggest... We would like quote Bender to each other.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? Like Bender is possibly the most quotable character on the entire show.
Yeah,
like he has the best lines. So like, how you have to bring him back?
No, he's part of the crew. Like it'd be weird to have the show without him.
Do smoking and drinking on TV make me cool?
It's like yes, if, yes. It'd be like it's like when The Office took Michael Scott out.
Yes, exactly. That's a perfect.
Like, if they get rid of Bender, I'm just gonna be like, "Well, I'll look. I might check it out." But
yeah, but yeah, I probably won't be invested unless I watch it and it's really good. And it's probably not going to be really good.
You took the best piece out.
This is actually you've kind of talked this through to me. Now I know exactly how I'm going to feel about it. Half of the reason I want to watch it is in case it's funny. Half of the reason I want to watch it is pure nostalgia. And if they get rid of Bender, that takes out the nostalgia part of it because it's going to ruin it. And so then I'm just going to be watching it, wondering if it's funny. And it's probably not going to be that funny because these shows never are when they like go on too long or come back. And, you know,
you see that with a bunch of shows like there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have great writers, but like eventually you're going to run like there's jokes that you have and you're like, oh, these are going to be really funny. Yeah. Eventually, even with comedians, you're like, eventually you're going to stop it.
Yeah, you're
like,
going to run out of stuff.
You're going to run out of really good stuff.
Yeah, guys hit like their sweet spot, whatever that is. And then,
well, their sweet spot is when they've had stuff in the can for so long that you've been hanging on to it. And you're like, oh, wow.
That is a good point. Yeah.
But like eventually, like all that stuff has been used up. And then you're like, from here on, you're like, ah, that's like not as good because it hasn't been tested. It's not as new. It's not as tried and it's not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be as good.
No, it is. No. Because, yeah, that makes sense to me. I know I haven't done stand-up like you have, of course. But, like, when you're thinking of jokes for years and years and years, you're going to start deleting worse ones and bringing in better ones as you go. And so all you end up with are the best ones that you have come up with. Whereas if you're bringing them up on the fly, on the fly, on the fly, and you're just spitting out whatever fresh thing you think of, they are going to be worse.
Yeah, you're not going to have as much tested material as you would like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Well, but they have taken 10 years off, so maybe they do have some.
That's also true.
Maybe that's why they're doing this, because I have some jokes.
We'll get some stuff. But then you need Bender. Bring Bender
back. You do need Bender. Bring back Bender. Pay John DiMaggio.
But I sent you that podcast, right? Like, it was years ago, I think, where Bender was like, the guy who did Bender.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's good, because, like, yeah, he talked about it. Like, it's just cool to hear it, because you're like, he does the voice and you're like, oh shit, like he's talking, and then he turns it into Bender and you're like,
look at you.
Good for you.
I saw I'm going to end the podcast on this little anecdote, but I saw it and I thought it was incredibly hilarious. One of the new stars of the new young Gen Z TikTok generation is, I heard her song on the radio the other day, Sabrina Carpenter.
Who the hell
you
is
heard
that?
Of her? She's like a young pop star for the teens of today.
God, you're making me feel old in this episode.
I'm gonna make you feel older, but this is kind of cool. Her aunt is Bart Simpson.
Oh God.
See? Now you feel old, but it is cool.
I always forget that Bart Simpson is voiced by a woman.
A woman, yeah. And honestly, when you know it's a woman, you can hear it. But if you're not thinking of it, you can't. Yeah, it is interesting.
You can tell she's a smoker.
Allegedly. All right. Should we call it a show? You want to sing?
Yeah, let's go. It's Up to the Miners podcast. Bring back Bender.